This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well, the country is abuzz now over the appointment of veteran lawyer Tommy Thomas as the next Attorney General, AG, the federal government's top legal advisor and public prosecutor.
Yep, that's right. The legal eagle has landed and we now have a new Attorney General of Malaysia. So I think there was a statement that was released, I believe, late last night.
Yes, early this morning, late last night.
Early this morning, issued by the royal household, of course, Yang Diputan Agong, essentially also agreeing to the terms to terminate the incumbent, Tan Sri Muhammad Apandi Ali, who has since been put on garden leave.
Yeah. And of course, the big story about this particular appointment was that the proposal to appoint Thomas as Attorney General had purportedly sparked a disagreement with the King. But Dr. Mahathir was quite adamant, at least according to reports, about Thomas's appointment and submitted only this name to the King. And of course, the statement that came out of the Comptroller of the Royal Household put to bed some of, the concerns and rumours that have been, going about the past few days.
Yeah, that's right. In regard to that, I suppose the reported delay in his appointment, His Majesty had expressed his concern over the recent media reports that were said to be inaccurate and negative in nature that could jeopardise the peace and harmony of the country.
Right.
His Majesty called for all Malaysians to accept that the appointment of the AG should not raise a racial or religious conflict, as all Malaysians have to be treated justly regardless of race and religion. I think in response, Tan Sri Muhammad Apandi Ali has congratulated Thomas, right? Wishing him all the best in discharging his new duties as the AG. There was also a little protest at the Istana Negara.
Yeah.
Tiny little protest. I think four people turned up.
Right, to protest the appointment of Tommy Thomas. But, you know, by and large, this entire discussion, not just on the appointment of the Attorney General, even on the appointment of the Finance Minister towards Lim Guan Eng, the issue of the qualities of the candidate and one's competency and their experience and their character has been put next to, the racial profile of the individual as well. And that's become something new to discuss and to come to terms with in, the aftermath of GE14.
Yeah, I suppose because merit was a big thing going into the selection of these candidates that you've just mentioned. And I think for the longest time, the race was never really something that was even questioned. A lot of it was just accepted. So looking at it through that lens, you're hearing very, very interesting discussions online.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, when it comes to Tommy Thomas and his credentials, he's best known as a constitutional law expert, a civil litigator in court cases in everything, administrative law, banking, finance, corporate, commercial law. He's been a lawyer in Malaysia for about 42 years, called to the bar in the UK in 1975, to the Malaysian bar in 1976. And, by all accounts of those in the legal industry, they sort of see this appointment as something to be applauded. And so we're going to find out a little bit more from constitutional lawyer Malik Imtiaz about what he thinks about the appointment. Malik, thanks for joining us on the program. Tell us, what do you think spurred the rulers to change their minds about the appointment of Thomas?
It's hard to speculate. I wouldn't know. All I can say is that yesterday there was quite a lot out in social media about how it is that the Agong was required to act on the advice of the Prime Minister. And I think that issue had become fairly heated in the social media yesterday. So perhaps that may have had something to do with it. I can't say for sure.
Right, fair enough. But I guess for a while there, it seemed like we were headed into slightly uncharted territory, Malik. I mean, what would have happened if the impasse had continued?
Well, I think a question would have arisen as to whether or not the Yang Diputuk Agong was entitled to reject that advice because the Conference of Rulers under the Constitution doesn't have a role to play on this particular appointment. There's some confusion because they do have a role to play in the appointment of judges of the High Court, Court of Appeal and Federal Court, proposed appointments have to be taken past them. But on the appointment of the Attorney General, there's no explicit role for them under the Constitution. So ultimately, if the Agong had persisted in refusing, then that would have potentially resulted in a deadlock. And if that matter had to be resolved in court, it would have probably resolved in favor of the Prime Minister. Alternatively, if that matter was taken into consideration by the Conference of Rulers as being something that the Agong perhaps should not have done, it may be that the Conference could have advised the Agong to do what was required, or else resolve the matter within the Conference itself. I won't speculate as to what could have happened there. But I'm glad that it didn't come to that.
Well, let's talk about the concern that the Attorney General needs to be well-versed in Sharia law. Is that a valid concern? And what role does the Attorney General Chambers play in Sharia law?
Okay, so the AG's Chambers does have, as far as I know, a department that looks into matters of the administration of Sharia on a broad level. Specifically... as you know, the sultans are the heads of religion in their respective states. The Agong is the head of religion for the federal territories. Each of the states and the FT have their own religious council, a Majlis Agama, and they also have their own muftis who sits or presides over a council, a fatwa council. So as a matter of fact, what happens is the heads of Islam are advised by these advisory bodies and persons. So in that process, the AG has no role. Furthermore, the question of administering Islamic law is a matter within the province of the state, and the Sharia court enforces Islamic law. So that's also something that doesn't involve the Attorney General. So as I understand it, the Attorney General's role on Sharia law is limited to those instances where, for purposes of federal governance within the public sphere, there's a need to understand the Islamic principles applicable. For example, in banking law, for example, or under the EPF, whether or not contributions can be willed to somebody else or not, or must it be distributed in accordance with Islamic inheritance law. Those sorts of things where Islamic law intersects with the governance issues at the federal level. But beyond that, I really can't see how it is that the Attorney General plays a role on matters of Islamic law.
Okay, but what about in cases where there are conflicts between Islamic and civil law?
Over the last maybe 10 years or so, we've seen an increase in sort of these situations of perceived as Islamization at the federal level. And some of these cases involving conflicts of Islamic law and civil law, for example, in the Indira Gandhi or the other cases of that nature, you've seen, to some extent, a more active involvement of the Attorney General's Chambers in arguing that these sorts of cases should actually go to the Sharia court. But even that argument is not, strictly speaking, an Islamic law argument. It's a constitutional argument as to which court or which jurisdiction has primacy over these sorts of matters. So in my view, the Attorney General has actually very little to do with the administration of Islamic law or advising Sharia law principles at all. So the fact that the Attorney General doesn't have a background in Sharia law is not a limiting factor. The Constitution doesn't make that a qualification for a person to be appointed as Attorney General. The Constitution only requires that the person be as qualified as a person who could be appointed to the federal court. And that means a citizen and no less than 10 years active experience before the appointment.
Now, perhaps there's not much that the Malaysian public knows about Mr. Thomas, and we know that both Tun Mahathir and him go back in history during the judicial crisis in 1988, where Thomas was one of the 5-member team of lawyers who defended Tun Muhammad Saleh Abbas in that case. But what else can you tell us about him?
Well, Tommy has been a very, very vocal and active member of the Bar Council, and he's consistently stood up for adherence to the Constitution and applying constitutional protections. He's also stood up for the rule of law and he's been very outspoken about that. And he's also been, you know, he's pursued this cause of ensuring accessible justice and justice being seen to be done, all the key elements of the justice system. He's been very, very vocal in his support for that. So he's very, very experienced in constitutional law and administrative law. And these are the two areas amongst, well, there's also civil law that the government is usually involved in. And all those aspects of his background, I think, would be very useful in his role as advisor to the government on matters of law. Yeah, I think looking at all the various possibilities, I think he was a great choice for that position. And I'm also happy about the fact that we've got an acceptance, at least it would seem that we're on the part of the government, that one doesn't have to be a Malay or a Muslim to be in a position of this nature, which, you know, which I think opens the door to discussions about other such offices, high offices or constitutional offices under the Constitution.
Well, Imtiaz, thank you very much for joining us on the program. That was constitutional lawyer Malik Imtiaz Sawa with his thoughts on the appointment of Tommy Thomas as our new Attorney General.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.